Welcome to CICK News, the only news source in the North truly dedicated to local stories on the ground. CICK News addresses the diverse needs of the underserved communities between Burns Lake and Haida Gwaii through firsthand stories and in-depth interviews. CICK News funding is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially support campus and community radio stations in Canada, as well as the Government of Canada. We are your hosts, Pam Hassan and Dan Messick, and we are on the dial at 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. Our call letters are CICK, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Gitindam territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Smithers Community Radio. A week ago today, British Columbia was granted an exemption under the Controlled Drugs and Substances Act to remove criminal penalties for drug law violations regarding possession for personal use. In that capacity, adults 18 and older in BC are now permitted to possess up to 2.5 grams of illicit substances and will not be liable for fines, arrest, or drug seizures. The decriminalization of people who possess certain illegal drugs for personal use is a critical step in BC's fight against the toxic drug crisis. It will help reduce the barriers and stigma that prevent people from accessing life-saving supports and services. Substance use is a public health matter, not a criminal justice issue. In 2022, there were 2,272 suspected illicit drug toxicity deaths. This is the second largest number of suspected deaths ever recorded in a calendar year, behind 2021, which was 2,306, a difference of 34 people. In November and December of 2022 alone, there were 182 and 210 suspected illicit drug toxicity deaths, respectively, and that equates to about 6.4 deaths per day. By health authority, in 2022, the highest number of illicit drug toxicity deaths were in Fraser and Vancouver Coastal Health Authorities, making up 58% of all such deaths during 2022. Also by Health Authority, in 2022, the highest rates were in Northern Health, 60 deaths per 100,000 individuals, and Vancouver Coastal Health, 51 per 100,000. Which means, overall, the rate in BC is 43 deaths per 100,000 individuals in 2022. The detection rate of benzodiazepines has rapidly increased from 50% of expedited toxicological samples in July 2022 to 52% of samples in January of 2022. It has since gone down to 19% in December of 2022. Between July 2020 and August 2022, Etizolam was found in 35% of illicit drug toxicity deaths that have undergone expedited toxicological testing. Etizolam is a benzodiazepine analog and non-opioid sedative that does not respond to naloxone and creates new life-saving challenges for first responders. That's a lot of stats, I know. So I spoke to Dr. Raquel Kling, a Northern Interior Medical Health Officer. She has been a medical health officer in Northern Health for 2 years. And as a medical health officer, her role is to promote and protect the health of the public and communities. Dr. Kling is on CICK News today to explain how this new ruling is going to affect Northern Health resources that are already exhausting their efforts to assist those in our communities who use illicit drugs. One of those services in the North are OPS, or overdose prevention sites. Overdose prevention sites are managed by health authorities in cooperation with community partners across the province. These designated spaces, which are integrated into existing social service or healthcare settings, provide on-site monitoring for people at risk of overdose and allow for rapid response when an overdose occurs. While supervised consumption services require municipalities to seek an exemption from federal drug laws, the same process is not required to establish an overdose prevention site. Overdose prevention sites are uniquely positioned as a low barrier point of introduction to health and/or social services for people with substance use issues. Each site provides various levels of services, including overdose prevention education and take-home naloxone training and distribution. Some sites may also distribute harm reduction supplies, such as sterile needles, filters, cookers, condoms, etc., and they offer safe disposal options, as well as facilitate referrals to mental health and substance use services. Currently, each British Columbia overdose prevention site also offers drug checking services. In our conversation, Dr. Kling explains the difference between overdose prevention sites and safe injection sites, as well as safe supply, and why there aren't any safe injection sites in BC outside of Vancouver. On the Northern Health website, toxic drug alerts are distributed publicly. The alerts are not often typically data-driven, but rather they're based on anecdotal or partner agency reports of overdose events. Most recently, the alerts in Northern Health are mentioning downs. Dr. Kling will also explain what down means. Information on illicit drug toxicity deaths over time can be found on the BC Coroner's Service regular reporting, and another source of information on non-fatal overdose events would be a BC EHS data on ambulance response to overdose calls. Northern Health does not have comprehensive data on overdose events, as not all events are an encounter with Northern Health services, for example, if a patient declines to be transported to hospital. What that all means to say is that even with the numbers that I've been reporting and reading off, it's not a totally accurate snapshot of the amount of illicit drug use in Northern Health.
My name is Dr. Raquel Kling, and I'm a medical health officer with Northern Health.
Okay, thank you so much, Dr. Raquel Kling, for making the time today to speak with me. In a Northern Health media release on January 23rd, Northern Health and the First Nations Health Association alerted that there had been an increase in overdoses in the Terrace area. Is the overdose alert about the substance called down? And could you also explain to our listeners what down is?
Yeah, down is just a way of describing substances that like physically just bring you down. So in this instance, we're using down to describe opioids, like such as fentanyl, which is what we know is in the illicit market right now. So yeah, these are just substances that like lower your heart rate, lower your breathing rate, just bring everything in your body down.
Yeah. And is it, I read as well that it kind of has a longer, almost like sedation period for people as well, that they're kind of like nearly incapacitated from it.
Yeah, absolutely. These drugs can definitely be sedating. It's just the way that we sometimes describe substances to people who use substances. It's okay. A term that they would use.
When there is kind of an overdose alert, in Northern Health and different communities in the North, what resources typically are hit the hardest in those communities?
So it always depends, and it depends which resources peers choose to use. When there's a lot of overdoses, it could be as little as just people showing up maybe more often for supplies, such as more naloxone. That's pretty common when there's particularly toxic drugs circulating. It often needs more and more naloxone to reverse an overdose. So it might mean that peers are requesting more and more naloxone. The increase in toxic drugs can, affect the system, from the street all the way up into the emergency departments. It could result in more overdoses presenting, but it's always very dependent on, each case.
Do you think that the recent decriminalization of 2.5 grams or less of MDMA, opioids, heroin, fentanyl, morphine and cocaine, do you think that that will affect overdose deaths in Northern Health? Or do you think that that will, what effect do you think it'll have in Northern Health?
Yeah, so we hope that by decriminalization of drugs, it can really support leading to less stigma for those who use substances. Just by allowing simple possession and, pushing the work to the public health system rather than the criminalization system. It just creates a more open space for people who use substances to receive care, to access the healthcare system, and just reduce the stigma around carrying drugs. And so we're hopeful that it could, be part of one of our many tools that we're using in the overdose prevention world to reduce overdose deaths.
Yeah, and that's a nice segue into my next question, which is with this provincial exemption, do you think then that
maybe that would persuade more people to use drug testing services provided at overdose prevention sites?
We hope so. We hope it'll just allow a better environment for people who need a variety of services to seek out those services in a non-stigmatizing way.
And while 2.5 grams seems to kind of be a compromised amount by federal officials to be decriminalized, does Northern Health have the capacity to request safe supply?
Yeah, we're absolutely working on our safe supply program right now. That's definitely a priority in Northern Health.
Are there any safe injection sites in Northern Health?
So in Northern Health, there aren't any safe injection sites. Safe injection sites is a specific term for sites that are have an application through a federal exemption process. It's quite a lengthy process, and the only safe injection sites in BC is in Vancouver. Insight. Otherwise, all the other sites in Northern Health are called overdose prevention sites, and these sites don't require the federal exemption. These sites are allowed to operate through the ministerial order after the declaration of the overdose emergency, which dictated that overdose prevention sites should exist anywhere where they're needed. Mm-hmm. So it's just it's pretty much identical services. It's just we legally have the ability to operate these services without the federal exemption due to the overdose emergency.
But safe injection sites, do they offer safe supply? And sorry, if you feel like you're reiterating, but is that the difference? Is that safe injection sites can offer safe supply?
That I wouldn't know. That would probably be a question for Insight. I don't know if they offer safe supply or not, but that wouldn't really be a differentiating feature. Mm-hmm. It's ultimately the only differentiating feature is the paperwork.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Do you wish that there's a part of this conversation that would be had either in the media or within Northern Health that just, or a part of this conversation that isn't being discussed?
Absolutely. I keep using the word stigma a lot, but I think stigma is a conversation that we're not having enough of. The underlying factor that is driving this overdose emergency is stigma around people who use substances. And we need to really work on creating methods to be kind and to be supportive of people who use substances, and know that just because people who use substances, it doesn't mean that they want to stop using substances, and we need to support people to do what they feel is best for them and to do so in a manner that they can stay safe and not be worried about dying from using substances, and not having the stigma which might prevent them from seeking care and medical care which might be so desperately needed. So I think the conversation around stigma is very much needed still.
Dr. Raquel Kling, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you fitting me in today. I know you have a really busy schedule.
No problem, anytime.
I reached out to the Smithers RCMP detachment about the training and new relationship that their officers will have with the public regarding this new ruling. I wasn't able to get an interview, but Corporal Madonna Saunderson sent me this written statement. Since BC's exemption to decriminalize people who use certain illicit drugs was approved by Health Canada in May of 2022, the RCMP has been working closely with our law enforcement colleagues, the Ministries of Mental Health and Addictions, and Public Safety and Solicitor General to develop a range of training resources to support knowledge and full implementation of the framework amongst frontline police officers across the province. We need to ensure that police officers from all law enforcement agencies throughout BC have clear and consistent guidance, training, and the supports they need to perform their duties with respect to decriminalization. The first phase of police training was launched last month and will be followed by an online course in the spring. The police training materials will include, but are not limited to, supporting law enforcement in applying the exemption in a variety of scenarios, as well as understanding how the exemption intersects with existing laws and guidance, including the Good Samaritan Drug Overdose Act. Bail conditions to address opioid overdoses, prosecution of drug possession offenses, and the new evidence-based diversion measure that were implemented on November 17, 2022, or Bill C-5. As a police agency, our role is to redirect people who possess small amounts of certain illegal drugs away from the criminal justice system and toward health and social services. All police agencies will be required to submit data to the MMHA through the term of the exemption. For detail on what data is required and the frequency, I was told to contact the MMHA. Here is Mental Health and Addictions Minister Carolyn Bennett speaking publicly about the government exemption regarding personal possession for illegal drugs in January of 2022.
We are all here today to discuss the toxic drug and overdose crisis on the implementation of BC's exemption under the Controlled Drug and Substances Act. The effects of this public health crisis have devastated communities across British Columbia and across Canada. Collectively, through harm reduction and treatment services, as well as prevention efforts alongside all orders of government, we are working in tandem to try and save lives. Despite these efforts, the situation has never been more urgent. Since 2016, more than 30,000 people have died of an overdose in Canada, with 2021 being the deadliest year to date. And according to the most recent national data, there were approximately 20 opioid toxicity deaths per day in the first 6 months of 2022. Here in British Columbia, the epicenter of this crisis, 2,267 lives were lost to illicit drug toxicity in 2021, the highest recorded death toll in a calendar year. And in the first 9 months of 2022, 1,644 lives were lost to illicit drug toxicity in the province. As we all know, there is no recovery for someone who is dead. Last May, I announced that our government had approved an exemption request from the province of British Columbia so that adults 18 years and over in the province found in the personal possession of up to 2.5 grams of certain illegal drugs for personal use would not be arrested, criminally charged, or have their drugs seized. Tomorrow, that exemption comes into effect, marking a monumental shift in drug policy that favors fostering trusting and supportive relationships in health and social services over further criminalization. Through this exemption, we will be able to reduce the stigma, the fear and shame that keep people who use drugs silent about their use or using alone, and help more people access life-saving supports and treatment. As we were clear last year, this exemption is not legalization. All activities with illegal drugs, including production, trafficking, import, and export, remain illegal, even if conducted with the drugs listed in the exemption in amounts under the 2.5 grams threshold. I will also assure you that since announcing the exemption, our government has been working with British Columbia as they put in place measures to support successful implementation, including law enforcement guidance and training, and increasing the health and social service supports. Together, we will work closely to evaluate and monitor its implementation to ensure that this exemption continues to meet public health and public safety objectives, and to help inform Canada's comprehensive approach to address substance use harms. Although we still have a lot to learn about the impacts of decriminalization, it is our collective hope that this exemption will help reduce the stigma related to substance use, increase the access to health and social services, and decrease the harms related to criminalization, and ultimately save lives. We know that access to treatment remains a gap, and we are committed to working with provinces and territories to ensure equitable access to treatment and support for a healing journey that is trauma-informed and culturally safe.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.